As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. Go to theathletic.com/NBA show and get The Athletic for $1 a month for 6 months. You can read all the wonderful things that we have at The Athletic about Kyrie Irving, about the trade deadline, and so much more. You can also listen to the show ad-free, which is super cool. With me tonight, as always on Mondays, my good friend Mark Schindler. Mark, what's up?
Probably Cam Thomas getting another shot up. out of body experience from him tonight, but we had an interesting night in the NBA, to say the least.
It was a honestly, if not for Cam Thomas, this would have been a dud of a night. And that game should not have been as good as it was, because you had the Brooklyn Nets kind of stripped down. No KD, obviously no Kyrie. You don't have your Mavs reinforcements here yet. And it's still a pretty close one. The Clippers end up winning this one, 124 to 116 in Brooklyn. You had PG and Kawhi kind of delivering there at the end. PG with 29, Kyrie with 24. But the individual performance of the night goes to our guy Cam Thomas, who had a career high 47 points in this one. A really fun night for a guy who is just an absolute bucket.
Yeah, I think you can come out and say now shit's funny based on the graphic. He had 40 plus in the last game, correct? If I remember correctly.
Yes. Yes.
Which is
unbelievable.
For anybody who's scouted or watched Cam, watching him at LSU and at Oak Hill, this is his game. This is what he does. This is what he's built for. It's obviously not always going to be shooting 52% from the field and 64% from three, but if he has any kind of lane and any kind of space, which he's good at creating, it's going up. He had it going off the dribble from outside tonight. He had it going off the dribble inside. I think the thing that always gets undersold about him is how strong he is. Drew 11 free throws tonight. And I think that's what's exciting. Like, if he can get the ball on the catch and he can get his shoulder into somebody, like, he really is so good at drawing contact. I think you saw some stuff with, not to be critical, but I do think you saw some stuff with his passing and where it's at right now late. Struggled a little bit with double teams down the stretch. Part of that's what the players are around him as well. But gotta give some shine to Edmund Sumner as well. He hit a step back three tonight. I'm not interested in hearing that it was a travel from anybody. It counted, so I'm counting it. Played some spirited defense as well. Like, honestly, these kind of games they end up being some of my favorite games. Just when you have, when so many guys are out and you have guys who are stepping up, like Sumner's been in the rotation, but, him and Cam, obviously, combined for more playing time tonight that I think they've experienced together the week before. So I enjoy seeing that. And then as well, like Nick Claxton, he had a possession on Paul George. I think he blocked his shot three times in about 15 seconds. And that's how it felt watching Nick tonight. Part of what's been really difficult with the Clippers this year, like, Kawhi really turned it on late. It wasn't even just the scoring. I thought his passing was really huge down the stretch. It was just automatic from him. Draw to pick apart the defense or take an open shot. I mean, it was just everything was so on point from him. And PG was really good tonight as well. But it's just the ball just does not get downhill at all for them. I thought their best minutes were when they had Zoo on the floor tonight and he was really able to punish on the glass. And just as a roller as well, but when he's off the court, you just don't get any kind of like real impact on the interior. So a lot of times the defense just doesn't really have to scramble, you know. And granted, I mean, PG and Kawhi are awesome as shot makers and what they can do in the in-between game, but it's just a really hard diet to live on. And I think you see that play out in nights like tonight where it really shouldn't have been as close as it was for them.
Yeah, if they really just had one guy that could get downhill, that could just break open their offense just a little bit, it would help so much. But you're right, they just don't really have that guy. And if you're the Clippers front office, I think that's the type of player that you're searching for this week as they get into trade negotiations. They have a ton of wings. Like, they have a ton of wings that could help other teams. They kind of just have a lot of the same guy. You know, you have your Batums and like Robert Covington's on this team, but like just doesn't play. And I'm sure a lot of teams are like, oh my gosh, like Robert Covington would be our eighth best player. Like, can we get that guy on our team? But they just have so many of the kind of the same guys. And so if they could just get one guy to come in there and get downhill and get to the rim, that would help a lot. You mentioned Claxton. I was super impressed with him. Like, part of the concern I had with the Kyrie trade for the Nets was just the chemistry that he and Claxton had built through the last few weeks. And like Nick's like ascension, I think, coincided with just Kyrie actually playing great basketball alongside him. And so it was good to see him still kind of feast in the middle. He had 15 and 16 tonight, two steals, three blocks. Crazy energetic. He lacks a lot in size, especially next to a guy like Zubat. But like, I thought that he played well, man. I don't know that you could ask much more from him. I really enjoy watching him play.
Yeah, that makes two of us. He's been a joy this year. Finished with 15 and 16, five steals and blocks. Like, he had a really productive night tonight.
Yeah. Quick take on the Kyrie trade. What do you think about it from let's just talk about it from Brooklyn's perspective on what they got back.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because in some ways we're going to be talking about some of the same issues I think the Clippers are having, but with the Nets. I think obviously getting back Spencer Dinwiddie is huge. The shot has just been really real for him this year. So I think that opens up a lot for his drive game. And I think he's more of like a pretty good passer than a great passer. Kyrie brings a lot more on the table with that, and as a driver as well. And to his credit, like, I'd call him a better off-ball player than Spencer Dinwiddie right now. That's not to be unfair. I think it's more just Kyrie's that good at playing without the ball in his hands. So obviously you're relying a ton on KD when he gets back, which we know that's a serviceable formula, but you definitely lose a lot of punch with that. So I'm interested to see how we can get back to that and what that looks like. I kind of want to go back through and, you know, watch some of the Dinwiddie with KD tape from when we had it. But I still think that they're positioned to play well. I'm interested to see if they do anything else. Like, obviously, adding Dorian Finney-Smith, you add another guy who he hasn't had a great offensive year. I think he's taken a little bit of a step back from where he was at last year. He hasn't driven the ball the same. But you get another big body defensively who can shoot. And, you know, compare, like, Royce O'Neal has been good, but overtaxed this year for sure, I think, on both ends. So, I mean, he was running point at times tonight. So, like, I think, you know, adding another guy like Dorian who can maybe soak up some of those minutes or play alongside Royce as well just gives them some interesting new looks. But I'll be interested to see how it plays out on court for sure.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started. Keegan Murray scores a career-high 30 points and hits a record-breaking 8 threes for the Kings as a rookie as they rout the Rockets. The Rockets have given up 293 points in the last two games. And it led to a press conference, a post-game press conference from Stephen Silas that was just, he's pretty frustrated. Mark, did you see this press conference?
I did, and I think it's one of those things that reinforces for me that I just, the idea of being a coach is like, nah, man, I don't know. there's obviously a lot going on with the Houston situation that's not just on coaching, but
yeah.
I mean, anytime I've ever seen him talk, it's always just like he just seems like pretty cordial, you know, like just willing to talk about anything anytime. Tonight, I think that's the most animated and emotional I've ever seen him in a press conference. Yeah. I'm sure that I'm blanking on one or two, but that was, I mean, he felt like he was ready to slam his hands on the table, which just not something I was ready to see from him.
Yeah, he was very frustrated. He also it's a funny guy to see like that mad because you can tell like he just doesn't get that way a whole lot. The Warriors bludgeon the Thunder, 141-114. Just a vintage night from Klay Thompson, who just could not miss from three. Did you see any of this one, Mark?
Yeah, probably more than I would have liked to. No, just kidding. It was just a tough game for the Thunder with the way that Golden State's offense was clicking, with how well Klay was playing. Obviously, some sloppiness with the basketball. That's always going to bite them. As soon as you get Draymond getting downhill like that, like this was the worst that I've seen OKC picking up people in transition in a long time. Which for them, I'm sure Dagnall was not thrilled about that. Because that's one of their staples, is to not let things like that happen. So I think this is very much a game that you just kind of want to chalk up and say, goodbye. We never want to look at this one again.
26 of 50 from three for the Warriors tonight. 12 of 16 for Klay on his own. Just an unbelievable night for the Warriors. And just, again, vintage Klay, and Chase Center was excited to see him play like that. It was, if you're a Warriors fan, that was a fun one. In Chicago, a couple of big beefy boys put up some big double-doubles. Vooch with 22 and 12. Andre Drummond with 21 and 15. Both are season highs for Drummond. This is actually a close one. It was tied at 85 until the Bulls went on a wild 23-3 run that slammed the door shut on the Spurs. The Mavs, basically without any point guard at all. Kyrie's not there yet. They just completed the trade this afternoon. Luka Doncic is out with injury, but they beat the Jazz 124 to 111. Josh Green with 29, 6, and 2. Just a great all-around game from Josh Green. It's good to see him getting reps like that.
Yeah, plus 39 on the night tonight. I normally don't care about plus minus, but when it supports my agendas, I'm all in. He's so fun. And I think this isn't a point that I brought up. It's one I've thought about, but I thought about it more tonight when I think Steve Jones Jr. Tweeted it out, you know, that part of what's interesting in Dallas making this trade is, of course, you bring on Kyrie, who's all-star, fantastic player, going to be their second best player, really going to help them. Yeah. But I think it's more so like, okay, you really get, not even that you get more out of Josh Green and Jaden Hardy, but it's like, okay, well, you really are throwing your chips in and you're opening up the opportunity when you're moving some of the other guys. Yeah. And granted, you know, Luka and Kyrie didn't play tonight, but you get a combined, first of all, really good night tonight for guys who have not really, not that they haven't been getting playing time, but like this level of playing time.
Yeah.
Josh Green and Jaden Hardy. I mean, Jaden Hardy had 29 tonight too on 12 shots. Like,
yeah.
I've liked the minutes from him all year. I've liked, you know, some of the spurts that we've gotten. I thought his playmaking actually was pretty good tonight. I liked what he did getting downhill and, you know, reading the second level of the defense, getting things spraying out, got to the line 9 times. Josh Green, like, I mean, I can't go away from him. Like, he had his shots. He took 6 threes tonight, but it was the drives. He had this one dunk later on in the game that was just fantastic. I mean, his burst in the open court, with where he's gotten with his handle now, like, it's just good enough to the level where it's like, oh wow, okay, if he gets a half step, he's at the rim. So it's fun stuff to watch. I'm really excited to watch the Mavs and see how they kind of coalesce over this back end, because it's been a pretty blah year from them, especially considering where they went at the end of the year.
No question.
But I'm excited. I mean, I like Hardy and Green a lot. We got Theo Pinson minutes tonight. And can never complain when that happens. So excited to see what's next.
The Cavs destroyed the Wiz 114 to 91. The Cavs led by 12 after the first quarter and by 20 at half, and it was over. All 5 of the Cavaliers starters were in double figures by halftime. The Bucks blow out the Blazers 127 to 108. Big games from Giannis, Brooke Lopez, and Jrue Holiday, all with 20 points or more. Damian Lillard finished with 28, 4, and 5. And finally, the Celtics smacked the Pistons 111-99 in Detroit. Sam Hauser gets his first career start. The Celtics are 1-0 under the Hauser administration. And Jason Tatum finishes with 34, 11, and 6. That's going to do it for today's show. Tampering is up next. Mark, send us out.
Ding, ding, y'all.